This week in Chicago history now with Anna DeVlant. Anna, good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
Talk first about the day Chicago was eliminated from something big, something we thought we had.
Oh, we thought we had this in the bag, Bob. October 2nd, go back to October 2nd, 2009, the day Chicago's Olympic dream bubble burst. Such a deflating day for those of us across the city who had high hopes that we would host the Summer Olympics here in our home city. Remember how positive people were that we just, there was this vibe that we were going to get it. People were so sure that there were, you know, like watch parties across the city. People were gathered by the thousands in Daley Plaza where they were, you know, waiting for that moment when we would be announced as, you know, getting the 2016 Summer Games. And the city really pulled out all the stops. Some of the most influential people, some of the wealthiest people donated millions of dollars for the bid. They went to Copenhagen to present the bid to the Olympic Committee. Even Oprah Winfrey showed up, Michelle and Barack Obama, a sitting president, which was unprecedented, if I remember correctly. They flew out there to be part of the bid. And Chicago seemed a front runner, but instead we got eliminated, recall, in the very first round. It's just a deflating moment. The head of Chicago's Olympic bid, Patrick Ryan from AON, said that he thought that Olympic committee members were so sure that Chicago was going to get through to the final round that they kind of put the votes on the second choice. He surmised that was a reason. But one big reason did emerge a few years later when several Brazilian officials were indicted for bribing Olympic committee members using like gold bars and some Swiss bank account. I mean, like it was so shady, and there was some sort of exchange of bribes. But in the end, just a sad day for Chicago. We pulled the news clip here from the moment the city found out.
That was quite a groaning ovation after that announcement.
People were tearing up their 2016 signs. Some people were just standing there with their mouths open. It was such a shock. I remember, people went all the way to Daley Plaza. I went all the way to Copenhagen for this one, Bob. I thought
you did?
Sure. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. How smart was I? Then came on home and spent a lot of money on airfare and had nothing to show for it. But
well, it's a lovely part of the world anyway.
Yeah, for a day.
Everybody around here of a certain age remembers Riverview, and this was a sad week in 67, wasn't it?
Shocking news, sad and shocking, because the Riverview Amusement Park was really, literally, I wasn't around them, but it was part of summer in Chicago, and summers would never be the same. October 4th, 1967, from that point forward, when the news was announced, it started out as a men's Northside shooting club and just grew into one of the most popular amusement parks in the country. Bob, you must have been there. You must have gone to Riverview.
Went there a couple times. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Right over by WGN-TV Studios on Bradley Place there at Belmont and Western, where it was. At its peak, it was attracting 7 million visitors per summer. The Bobs was one of the big rides, the popular Aladdin's Castle, the Tunnel of Love. They just became annual rituals for Chicagoans. Wizzo the Clown, interestingly, from the Bozo Show, got his start at Riverview, and Bozo himself made several appearances. WGN-TV did a special report on Riverview a couple years back, and here's a clip from that. They were interviewing people who were there.
Marshall Brodeen and Steve Sanders from WGN-TV.
Yeah. Yeah, just the memories there between the years of 1904 to 1967. Riverview created a lot of fun summer memories.
Sure did.
Pretty cool.
Now we get to some history in Chicago with the Lottery Lady, as she was known.
Yeah, Linda Kohlmeyer, the Lottery Lady, as she was affectionately known, Bob. She hosted her last and final lottery drawing live on WGN this week, 2015, at 6:57 every night. We'd kind of grown accustomed to seeing Linda pull the lottery balls and announce them live on air, and then later added an additional drawing during the noon news. Linda built up such a following because in between her pick three and pick four balls, as she was waiting for them to pop out of the little cage there, she would drop these comments about the weather, or little nuggets of advice or inspirational statements. You know, it was just maybe sometimes very random, but really loved. It made her a beloved TV personality, and they became known as Linda-isms. I remember being in the Channel 5 newsroom, and the assignment desk would yell out, "Okay, Linda's on! Linda's on!" Everybody would turn on their TVs and watch Linda. So, you know, sadly, the lottery decided they wanted to go electronic, and then 2015, that was the end. But she had 26 years. We pulled a quick interview here. Linda Kohlmeyer talking about her incredible run.
You know what? From time to time lately, I don't know what's going on with me. I'm remembering little tidbits of my career that have been forgotten for many years. The WGN TV program director at one point called me and asked me if I wanted to be the lottery drawer person, you know, the person who picks the lottery balls out.
And so
I think it was in radio at the time, and I didn't want to do that. And did Linda Kohlmeyer get the job after I said no?
I don't
remember.
What a missed opportunity. I mean, what kind of little nugget?
I could have amounted to something.
Delivered? We've missed out 20 years of Bobism.
No, and she's so positive. Can you imagine me doing that?
Love it.
Oh, man, you probably lost again. What a loser. Pen and Fever, that was the case this week in 1945. The last one before the big drought, right, Anna?
Yeah, the big one. You know, that song, actually, Pen and Fever, released by Chess Records in a year the Cubs actually did not win the pennant. It came out with hope for the 1969 season, which, as we know, as Cubs fans, did not happen. But this week, 1945, marks a major moment in Cubs history, the pennant win that date stamped into every Cubs fan's memory, because we'd have to wait 71 years to be exact before the Cubs did it again in 2016, that magical year. 1945 was the 10th National League pennant in Cubs history at that time. They just splashed across the front page on the Tribune that next day was Cubs win the pennant. Third time for Grimm. Charlie Grimm was a former Cubs first baseman who led the Cubs to pennant wins in 32 and 35, and then he was managing the team that year. So that was the story. Of course, they went on to play Detroit that year and lost in a close 7-game series. If only the darn goat had not tried to get into Wrigley Field, Bob. We never know what it would have been different, but that's the story from 1945.
The darn goat. Let's get into the historic monkey business that was going on around here back in 1950.
Yeah, just 5 years later, the big news was Chicago's most famous primate, Bob, known as Bushman. You would remember Bushman. He got loose, 6 feet tall, 570-pound lowland gorilla escaped his enclosure in Lincoln Park Zoo, and he roamed around for about 3 hours inside the monkey house. In 20 years, Bushman would never escaped, never harmed anyone. But when he got loose, everyone was kind of wondered, you know, how is this gonna end? And reading through the archives, it was fairly low drama. They first tried to release an alligator on a leash into the monkey house to scare Bushman back into his cage, but that didn't work. And then they tried a garter snake. They put that under the door, and that did the trick, because Bushman, as big as he was, apparently was afraid of snakes. So he crept back in, and they shut the door, and nothing violent, nothing happened. But it was, he wanted to take a look around. He went over to the kitchen, he looked out the window, and I guess you can't really blame him. 20 years in that little small enclosure, I'm sure he wondered. Marlon Perkins, then zoo director, Bob, called it one of the most dramatic episodes of his career, because his office was right there inside the monkey house.
Lincoln Park Zoo, a favorite, 3 million visitors a year. I was too young, so I never got to see Bushman, but I have a picture of Bushman up in my office, because I always admired Bushman, because I read stories about how he would heckle people who would come to see him, throwing things at visitors and so forth. So I thought, this is my kind of monkey, Bushman.
Yeah, it's your guy. It would have been your guy, if you had seen him
really. Bushman was certainly famous. And finally, now this is interesting. I never thought about the name Sara Lee. Give us this history.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's great, because Sara Lee and Chicago go way, way back. Charles Lubin was a Chicago bakery in Garfield Park and just had a small shop, but he started distributing his cheesecakes and other recipes across the city and called his company Sara Lee after his daughter. She had a 9-year-old little girl. Sara Lee Lubin was her name. He developed this super creamy cheesecake that just became incredibly popular, just selling out. And this is interesting, because there was a moment in time, and Bob, refrigerated and frozen cakes were a novelty, because only possible because of the circumstances. Chicago, at the center of the country and the rail and distribution hub that it was, meant that Lubin could get his cheesecakes and frozen pound cakes into stores across the country quickly, so they didn't spoil. Back then, that was an issue. So Sara Lee became synonymous with the next best thing to home cooking. The tagline that I believe was locally developed, ad line, but nonetheless, it would became well known across the country. Nobody doesn't like Sara Lee. Here's the ad that ran here and also across the country.
Everybody remembers that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bad grammar, the double negative, but great cheesecakes, Bob. Really, really great cheesecakes.
Yeah, and a great commercial, very effective for them. One time when I was in college, I remember coming home from a party and going into the fridge and eating an entire Sara Lee cheesecake with my coat on. I'll never forget that. Yeah, it was very tasty. Thank you.
It's so good.
And we'll talk to you next Wednesday.